since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
In the midst of all the Major League Baseball madness today, a lot of players going out the door. We'll talk about that and more coming up in just a moment. We can't forget about the NBA draft. I thought it was a great night for the Utah Jazz. Sad this morning to see Derek Favors go, but Utah now primed to offer Mike Conley a big money deal where he'll potentially end his career in Utah. I thought the Jazz did well in the draft last night as well, trading back and still getting Jared Butler with the 40th pick. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the other things that went down in the draft, including the big trade between the Lakers and the Wizards. Joining us right now over the phone to do just that, we have Tom Perkins, independent NBA scout, and also the founder of HoopCityNews.com. Tom, always great to get you on. Thank you.
Love being here, especially after a draft like that. That was so exciting, and there's still more trades to come down the pike.
Yeah, a lot of movement yesterday, and why not? Let's start with the Lakers and the Wizards. We had a little time to dissect this on the show yesterday, but it was official last night. LA brings in Russell Westbrook, his fourth team in 4 years. I think there's some variables there. Typically, you'd say that's a warning sign, but Houston tore it down. We knew that it wasn't going to be a long-term stay in Washington. So, again, there's some variables there. The Lakers trade Kyle Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Montrezl Harrell. I don't believe the Lakers gave up an awful lot. They ship out the 22nd pick, which Washington immediately traded last night as well. And so, all in all, when you take a look at the move, I know this Laker roster is still incomplete. But, Tom, 24 hours later, I really like the deal. I do.
Well, I like the deal as well, kind of. And here's what I'm talking about. This is going to go ahead and have an impact on the Lakers, of course. But let me tell you where it's going to have an impact. It's going to have an impact on their pace. The pace of play will be doubled, maybe tripled. They'll be much faster team. They'll have more fast break. Plus, in addition to that, it used to be LeBron bringing the ball up in the middle, leading that break. Now he doesn't have to do that. Now he could just simply be a lane filler, and with him just filling a lane and not having the responsibility of leading that break, Russell Westbrook is more than capable of making those plays. So that takes some pressure off of LeBron in regards to his playing time and wear and tear on his body. So that's great, of course. That's a big-time plus. However, as we all know, Russell Westbrook is not a premier shooter, and they need to go ahead and add a shooter or two to make that really work well. Like, for example, can they get Buddy Hield? Maybe even getting J.J. Redick. But I don't think they're going to be able to get Buddy Hield because they've traded all their assets away.
Almost. I mean, it all depends on what they can do as far as a sign and trade with Dennis Schroeder. I know that there's also a lot of interest in Talen Horton-Tucker. So they do have a couple of other weapons that they may be able to move. But the bottom line is they're going to have to fill the roster out with bargain buys. And I do believe they will be able to get bargain buys. I mean, for instance, Danny Green is going to be a free agent. I think there's a shooter for you on the cheap. There's going to be options for the Lakers. It's an incomplete roster at the moment. But if you're building up Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Russell Westbrook, you have to like the trio that LA has right now, knowing that this roster is incomplete.
Yeah. It improves their roster without a doubt. Which, by the way, which also begs the question, what the hell did Montrezl Harrell do to go ahead and be escorted out the door?
Yeah, well,
he didn't even play the last game in that final Western Conference Finals. So something happened there.
No, I mean, the bottom line with Montrezl Harrell, anytime you have an expiring contract worth anything north of $8 million, you're a valuable trade asset in the NBA, especially with where the cap is. That's pretty simple. Once he opted in yesterday, first off, he knew that he wasn't going to get $9 million on the market, so he opts in, and that paves the way for a trade like this to go down. That's a valuable trade asset. And it's you know, we can kind of use this to transition over to the Utah Jazz. For instance, Derek Favors, a similar deal. Anytime, Tom, you have a player in the expiring year of $8 million up, it is a valuable trade asset in today's market. It's kind of fascinating to look at.
Well, yeah, I think you're right about that, of course. And of course, now you've turned into a kind of a tradeologist as far as money is concerned. That's very astute of you. But yeah, you're right about that. Except you still wonder the kind of game that Montrezl plays. Every team needs, including the Lakers, and they just didn't give it a very good chance. They didn't give him a very good shot. But they're, again, they've improved without a doubt. Again, if they get that shooter or two, that's going to really round it out. Now, at this point in time, everybody's talking about next year, the finals is going to be, without a doubt, Brooklyn against L.A. And what's interesting about that matchup is L.A. will still be the supreme defensive team. They've got a better defense than the Brooklyn Nets have.
Sure.
However, the Brooklyn Nets have a better offense, decidedly better offense.
Agreed.
And I'll tell you how they've improved their offense from what it was. It was, of course, you know, KD and James Harden and Kyrie Irving. Well, they have improved themselves decidedly by getting a steal at 27, Cameron Thomas from LSU. This guy is an offensive machine. He can get 20 just by waking up in the morning. And what's good about that is that there's playing time for a 6'4.5 guy in regards to the Nets, because James Harden and Kyrie Irving both need a breather throughout the span of a season. And here comes Cameron Thomas. So Cameron Thomas is not going to have pressure on him. He's going to be kind of a sixth man or 5.5 man coming off the bench, spelling James Harden and Kyrie Irving. That's great for the Nets. Because both of those players, you know, Harden and Kyrie Irving, a little bit shaky on the injury situation. They get injured easily. But so therefore, they've improved offensively. Lakers have improved certainly in regards to the way they play LeBron and how they can rest LeBron. So that's pretty significant. It still would be the most intriguing matchup in years if Nets and Lakers are in the finals.
Yeah, we got a long ways to go before we can count that, though. So many things can happen between now and then. And Tom, honestly, last night I thought there were several winners. Now, I don't think that a lot of the teams that I was happy with last night and what they did at the draft will have a chance at an NBA championship, but I thought it was a great building block. And we'll start with the Houston Rockets. To me, last night, Houston had the best draft. They had four picks. It's so difficult to not screw up one of four picks. But I really don't believe the Houston Rockets did this. At number two, they get Jalen Green, best pure scorer in the draft. I don't think anyone's going to argue with that. At number 16, Alperen Sengun. They trade up with the Oklahoma City Thunder, who need another first-round pick, right? That's exactly what they need. So they make a trade up. When you look at what this guy managed to accomplish in the Turkish Super League, which, look, that's one of the best overseas leagues there is, and this guy was an MVP at 18 years old. Maybe he could develop an outside shot a little bit, but he's got great touch around the rim, doesn't play great defense, but he's got a great running mate in Jalen Green. Then you go to number 23. Usman Garuba may be the best defender in the draft. Okay, so you get the best pure scorer. You get arguably the best big man with the highest ceiling. Then you get one of the best defenders in the draft who can guard multiple positions. For those who are not familiar with this kid, think Draymond Green a little bit. And then at number 24, they get a two guard in Josh Christopher, who maybe is a bit inconsistent if you had a chance to watch him in college. But he's a great scorer. He's got upside defensively as well. I just thought the Rockets had a well-rounded draft all the way around. I think all four picks actually fit, and that's tough to do.
Absolutely, especially Usman Garuba. Usman Garuba is going to be something else. This guy is he's way better than the 23rd pick. So some of those guys that passed on him missed out on him. So, yeah, without a doubt, Rocks had a very good draft, and they definitely increased their potential of winning a lot of things. So, yeah, he did a pretty good job. Guy did a pretty doggone good job drafting those players. Another team kind of similar are the Warriors. The Warriors did a pretty good job. The Warriors, you know, they got Moses Moody, of course, and prior to that, they got Jonathan Kuminga. And Jonathan Kuminga is another fantastic guy with a lot of ups, and he can play much bigger than 6'6", which they need. There's a caution I want to tell Warrior fans, though, and I wonder if you agree with me about this, because I've been meaning to talk to you about it. Everybody is penciling Klay Thompson in as, well, with Klay Thompson back and, you know, Stephen Curry and Draymond Green is still there, and then they have a couple good picks here. This could be the team that could go out and upset the apple cart. You have to be careful how you view Klay Thompson. If I were to be asked about any player missing 2 years in a row, first one because of an ACL, second year because of a torn Achilles, I'd say that person is done. But everybody seems to think that, oh, well Klay will be back. I'm not so sure. What do you think?
I can't go as far as saying that Klay is done. I think there's going to be elements of his game that he is going to have to change. I mean, first off, I'm starting to view the Achilles injury in a similar fashion that we view Tommy John in baseball. Once upon a time, Tommy John surgery was a death sentence for pitchers. Today, you actually have Major League Baseball scouts looking at 18, 19-year-old kids. If they've already gone through Tommy John, it's not a negative. In fact, in some cases, it may be a plus. Now, an Achilles injury is still overwhelmingly devastating. Don't get me wrong. But we just saw Kevin Durant come back from an Achilles injury. He looked fine. Klay Thompson's had 2 years. I think he's got the perfect running mate in the backcourt to mask some of those issues. So I think it's somewhere down the middle, Tom. I don't think the sky is falling with Klay Thompson. I do believe that he can still be productive. I'm more curious to see what this does in his movement, moving east to west, specifically defensively, because this guy was a lockdown perimeter defender, so let's see how it affects that aspect of his game. To me, that's where the Achilles injury pops in. The ACL, I don't worry about that. We see that far too often. He's had a long time to rehab. So for me, it's right down the middle. I mean, I'm not expecting Klay Thompson from the 73 win Golden State Warriors, but I'm not expecting a shot version as well.
I think that's a very good answer. In other words, you're right there in the middle between him being, you know, the Klay Thompson of the past or a shot Klay Thompson. I kind of agree with you, by the way, that he's probably right down the middle, which, of course, makes him a very valuable player from the standpoint of he can still do things to help them win. I mean, he's just been one of my favorite players for the past 8 years. I just love his game. I love the fact that he needs no dribbles to score. Remember the 60-point game that he had with 11 touches?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I still think there's some good ball to be played, and I do like what Golden State did last night. I also like what the Charlotte Hornets did. And when you look at the track record of Michael Jordan, be it as a president, be it as an owner, they have not had the best track record. Look, this is a new day now for the Charlotte Hornets. They had LaMelo Ball, the rookie of the year, fall into their lap last year at number 3. And then you take a look at what they did last night. James Bouknight out of UConn, he can play both ends. I think it's a dream running mate for LaMelo Ball. I think the pieces are going to fit beautifully. And then they trade up with the Knicks and they grab Kai Jones at number 19. And I know there's some variables here, right? You got to keep it in perspective. But Kai Jones is by far the best prospect that Texas has sent to the NBA draft since Kevin Durant. We're talking about a 6'11 kid, Big 12 sixth man of the year. He can rebound. He's got mobility, a good offensive rebounder. Yes, he's going to have some work to do as far as his mid-range and outside shot is concerned. But still, the pieces fit. So I have to put Charlotte in that same category as Houston. Tom, I loved what the Hornets did last night.
Yes, I do too. They did a great job, especially when you consider how well Lonzo
LaMelo
played.
Yep.
LaMelo played wonderfully, and he played so well that he was able to go ahead and be injured for about 3 or 4 weeks and still won the Rookie of the Year. And he's a real nice defender. He has a nice shot. That's going to improve. And he can move like you wouldn't believe, and is a better passer than his brother.
Yeah. Yeah, and they got the right running mates for him. They definitely do. Tom, before I let you go, we'll end by talking about the Utah Jazz. Blown away last night. Utah trades out of the first round. That did not surprise me. In fact, I said yesterday on the show, Utah should trade out of the first round. Now, when they traded the number 30th pick overall in the draft, I thought Jared Butler, a guy that they were high on, I mean, that was well known throughout the state of Utah, I thought he would be gone by the time Utah picks again at number 40. No, he's still there, and I understand there are health concerns. That's a lot of the reason why we saw Butler drop all the way to number 40, but still, anytime you can grab the most outstanding player in the NCAA tournament, number 40, you have done something right. Plus, he's going to have some time to develop. A lot of people here managed to watch Baylor last year due to this incredible run that they put together. When you look at Utah grabbing Jared Butler at number 40, and now the idea that they'll bring Mike Conley back on a 2-3 year deal, the Jazz were fantastic last night.
Yes, they did. They did a very good job. Jared Butler is awesome, and he's going to really improve that team. And with locking down the guard, is very important. You've got to lock down all-star players, and that they were able to do that. And so he'll be all officially sound. He'll be totally healed, and that was a good job on their part, for sure.
Yeah, I thought the Jazz had a great night as well. Tom Perkins, our guest of HoopCityNews.com, taking out the time to join us. Tom, as always, you can let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Okay, well, I've got the whole draft. Before the draft even happened, about an hour before I post my draft picks 1-20 on HoopCityNews.com. Got a lot of good compliments about that. And then, of course, everybody thinks I was too high on Cameron Thomas from LSU. I don't think I was. Watch this kid play next season. And, it's going to be interesting, and especially with the things that the Lakers are trying to pull off. They're still trying to get, Buddy Hield. I think they're probably not going to be able to do that. I think for one reason only. It's been said many times before. People will not make people available for teams that could hurt them in their own division. In other words, I don't think Sacramento is going to give up Buddy Hield to the Lakers. Might give Buddy Hield up to some other teams, but not to the Lakers. It's too close to home.
Tom Perkins, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Thank you again for the time.
All right, well, we'll be talking to you soon, and I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next week even.
Oh, I'm sure, with free agency coming up, no doubt. Fun time to be an NBA fan. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. We'll move over and talk Major League Baseball right after this.